When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Scoutcast brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. As always, you're joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined by Seb. Wait, you got little. What, why am I the only one in the non-hack crew? How's it going, Seb?
All right, mate. Going well. Maybe it's because you're the only one that's got some good hair tonight.
Is that what it is? Sure, I'll take
it. I am literally wearing a hat because I have long, floppy, terrible hair.
Or do you go full on Haaland if you take it off? Is it like the Atalanta badge?
Full on who? That's not a name that I don't.
Exactly. don't use it all yet, mate. Don't use it all yet. I know there's some tempered rage ready to come out. We're also joined by the other person in the hat crew, Rich. How's it going? Hat plus headphones over the top. I like the look.
Yeah, but no floppy hair.
No.
Or floppy anything. I don't know what that means, actually.
Let's move on from there. thank you so much for everybody in the chat tonight. It looks like somebody is in the chat who's taken over the Fantasy Football Scout moniker there, who's telling me that they've ordered me a hat. So thank you so much. Looking forward to wearing that. So thank you so much for everybody that's in the chat with us tonight. We had an interesting week. My goodness me. We've got over 200 people in the chat already, which usually lets you realise that this has been an interesting week. And maybe one of us had a not-so-nice week, but we're going to bring on to that in a second. We've got quite a lot to be talking about tonight. We're going to be looking at our points and seeing how the points have gone, with an overemphasis on who our vice-captain was, which doesn't happen most weeks. Then we're going to be looking at Haaland. Everybody's here for it. We're going to be talking about Haaland. What do we do with Haaland? Do we keep him? Do we sell him? Do we wait? What is it you have to do? We're going to be talking about that because we have some varying opinions on that. We're going to be looking at our over or unders as well. We've got some very interesting players that we're going to be talking about there. And then we've got our bus teams, our community team, and a bit of a Q&A at the end as well. So, without any further ado, we're just going to go on to our promotion here as well. There is a promotion going on at the moment for Christmas. If you don't know what to get someone for Christmas and they love fantasy football, why not get them a Fantasy Football Scout premium membership? You can get gift cards as well, so you can actually give somebody a gift card. It's just £25, but if you use the Scout10 code, you get 10% off and it's only £222.50, which is obviously a lot better as well. So make sure you do. It's fantastic. If I got this for Christmas, I'd be chuffed to bits. So moving on to our points. So this is my points this week. I had 59 this week, which was a healthy green arrow of about 90k, which I would very much take this week. Depravka in goal with 2. Since I brought him in, they've conceded a lot of goals. Saliba with 2, Maguire with 1, Simikas with 2. Defence did not do it for me this week. When have they any week, to be perfectly honest? Saka with 2, Son with 17. What an absolute baller he was last game of the week. Destroyed it, and he took the penalty as well, which was what we've been waiting for. Gordon with 2, Salah as my vice-captain with 26, Palmer with 1, Archer with 2, Watkins with 2. So only 2 people on my team actually got any returns, and that was Son and Salah with quite a few between them. What's that, 43 between them. Then Haaland captain, which was obviously the massive news. We found out a little bit after deadline that there was rumours that Haaland would not be playing and that he wouldn't even travel, wouldn't even be on the bench, and that obviously occurred. We're not too sure what's going on with his injury, but we're going to get on to that one on the next slide. So he obviously didn't play, and then it went over to my vice captain, which was Salah. I think this was probably the week where more people logged in after deadline to see who their vice captain was than any other week. For most people, it seemed like Salah jumped up in ownership to about 160% EO, I think he was. And Rich, you were lucky as well. You obviously had Salah vice-captain. You pipped me by 1 this week.
I did. To be honest, I was not in the best of moods yesterday, was I?
You were not.
You and Seb can attest to that. But I did actually get the highest score this week, so I can't complain too much. I mean, like you, I mean, I got 60 points and it was all Son. And then Salah vice captain, no one else blanked. The things I was annoyed about, and it's probably accumulation of all the bench points I've had in weeks gone. I finally got Yao Pedro. He played 90 minutes, not 90 plus minutes, and then he put up a two-pointer. I mean, I'd have been really upset if Archer had outscored him, because I waited all this time for that moment. Home to Burnley, got him off the bench. He actually played the full game for the first time in a while, and nothing. But it was my transfer that annoyed me, because I didn't want to go down the Gordon route. I was dead set on that. And it just seemed like every player I looked at, I ended up going Garnacho. The reason for going Garnacho is I can do Yao Pedro to Solanke this week. Nice. But I mean, that doesn't even matter anymore, because Haaland with a flag, everyone can get to Solanke easily.
Quite easily. So
I went Garnacho over, and the options I looked at, I was speaking to Luke. I went to him talking about, should I get Bernardo Silva?
Yeah.
He was like, why didn't you get Grealish?
That's disabled, by the way, isn't it, for anybody wondering?
Who's it? Say it again.
Disabled.
Oh, disabled Luke, yeah. Man City expert, resident Man City expert. Yeah, so I went to him about Bernardo Silva. He suggested Grealish. I looked at it for a while and I was like, yes, this is the one. Went to do it and I couldn't actually afford it because it was about 11 p.m. at night. And then I was messaging Baker about Richarlison. And yeah, he just didn't think Richarlison would start, because the logic there was, if Son's out, Richarlison's going to be on penalties and would be more likely to play. Anyway, I defaulted to going Garnacho. Long story short, I got 60 points. I got a green arrow. So I did get lucky, but I'm feeling hard done by.
60 points, so what were you before this? Yeah, overall rank-wise?
I think I was 550k. So I'm, back to 369k.
Yeah, nice. It's a healthy green arrow.
I mean, it just feels like accumulation of things. So I just fancied having a moan. But then, obviously, I was ranting in the group chat when Seb, it's far, far worse off. Well, I'm sorry, Seb.
So unhappy.
He really was. He had the highest points out of all three of us, and he was in the chat.
To be fair, at that point, I don't think Son had played any, so maybe it did look
I chose the wrong audience, to be fair, when I was ranting on WhatsApp.
You did. Choose your audience.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, but it was like, you lost all semblance of like the relatively composed FPL manager you normally are, because not Richarlison. Because that was our main thing, wasn't it? You were like, oh, I would have got Richarlison. He scored. But you were saying, I think some of the reasoning was like, oh, because if Son didn't play, he'd be on penalties. It's like,
it was poor.
But Son did play, and Son is on penalties. So that would have been a bad call. You would have got lucky. I mean, I guess, who cares, right? You just want to get lucky.
It was the way
it was
it
funny to see you sort of like just become a very different manager.
It was that afternoon. It was like Bernardo Silva scored, then Grealish scored. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, well, at least Richarlison won't score later. And then he scores a brace. And I mentioned it, didn't I, before the Spurs game. Hopefully Richarlison won't score.
All I kept expecting was you to complain one more time and just to see Seb Wassel has left the chat.
it was the wrong audience. Seb was very supportive.
He was gracious, yeah. Speaking of Seb, I've brought up your team here, Seb. Obviously, there's a lot of people talk about it in the chat, because you've been well known to have obviously gone without Haaland for quite a while and done very well because of it as well. And obviously, commend you for doing that. But this was not a good week.
No, it was not. I think I got 43, which is all right.
Yeah.
So I'll read through the team and then I'll talk about the obvious. So Raya with 2 points. Obviously, Arsenal don't do clean sheets despite having the best defence in the league. Mm-hmm. Dallow with 1, Simagas with 2, Trippier with -1, Pedro Porro with 5, Saka 2, Son 17, Palmer 1, Douglas Luiz, who was one of my transfers, with 2 and is now suspended. But that's fine, because when we need him isn't next week. So as actually, to be fair, mid-ramp, as Rich pointed out, someone on 4 yellow cards in, a Villa player, ideal time for them to get the 5th yellow card, which is because I don't need him next week. Well, I didn't. Might now. Darwin with 2 up front, of course. Julian Alvarez, who was my other transfer. No, he wasn't. That was last week. I wish. 10 points with my vice captain. And then a bench of Johnston, Haaland, Gabriel, and Bumo. And yeah, as you can see, obviously from the team, there's a very big thing that is pretty disappointing. And I mean, like, most of the weekend it felt quite good, and then Spurs conceded. And I mean, Pedro Porro had an assist, he was on lots of bonus, lost his clean sheet. So yeah, no, I'm gutted about that.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, obviously. So I brought Haaland back in. And I did it for, we spoke about it, I want to say it was like almost a week and a half ago now, wasn't it? Spoke about it on Friday with David as well. Was very likely to be Son or Salah out to someone a lot cheaper, so Douglas Luiz here. And then originally Darwin or Alvarez could have become Haaland, but I liked the idea of doing Archer to Haaland for the strong front three, could retain one of Son or Salah. Obviously, I lost Watkins a couple of weeks ago for Alvarez, which also, you know, wasn't a great move either. But would then be able to get Watkins back for one of those other two strikers, which would be fine. So I ended up doing Salah to Douglas Luiz and Archer to Haaland. A couple of other options could have been Trippier to Livramento and one of Darwin or Alvarez to Haaland. That obviously would have gone a lot better because I would have had the captaincy, the vice captaincy on Salah. But actually, the one I was more annoyed about was Foden. So yeah, Foden did nothing. But what I wanted on Friday night was Salah down to Foden and Archer to Haaland. That felt very, very nice. 0.1 priced out of that one. You know, left it Friday night till Saturday morning to see if we got any team news, ironically. So I couldn't do that one by 0.1. So I decided to go cheap instead so I can get Wemby Watkins in the future or whatever. Douglas Luiz, who I think is a nice hold. Didn't go Leon Bailey, despite I think he's been great recently and maybe injured now, maybe, yeah. Not sure. Sorry, he went off. Yeah, something like that. But I wasn't 100% confident in minutes over the period I would want him. So I think he got an assist, didn't he? So fair play anyone who went there. But it wasn't quite for me. So I went a bit more assured in Douglas Luiz. Set pieces, penalties is always nice. And yeah, obviously after literally half the season of not having Haaland, brought Haaland back in the week that we didn't know he was injured, didn't travel. What can you do? That's like, there's nothing. I mean, and then Salah got a goal and assist from like one shot, one chance created. So like in terms of losing Salah or Son, I feel like relatively happy in that shout. There was always points potentially left on the table, of course. But Salah goes off to AFCON soon. So Son will disappear for international duty as well shortly afterwards. But in terms of like, you know, the decision of how did I think matches would go, losing Salah instead of Son felt decent. But obviously got absolutely destroyed by the Haaland misfortune. And yeah, there's nothing you can really do about it, right? I think if anyone's in the similar situation to me, there are two sort of pieces of solace. One is I recall quite vividly about this time last year, around about Christmas, I was like 90 odd K in the world. Then we had those wild cards. I bought in Darwin. I brought in Foden because he played Leeds
over Saka
instead of Saka. And I went up from like 90K to like 500K, eventually caught my way back to 4K by the end of the season. So going from 117K, which is where I was on Friday, to what am I, like 180 odd, 190?
Yeah.
It looks pretty bad, and it feels bad when it happened at the weekend, but actually massively got away with, you know, losing a captain, not having the best vice captain, massively got away with that. Like it's recoverable. The bigger problem is more what to do, you know, in the coming week with Haaland potentially injured and stuff. So if that's going to be the massive mistake I make this season, maybe I'll just take it and run.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Because when we were talking about this and you were saying, it's not really the points that's annoying me, it's the two free transfers used and obviously the injuries and the suspension and things like that. That's the thing that's more annoying you than anything, because planning's obviously become a bit harder for you in terms of Trippier there suspended, Douglas Luiz suspended, Haaland obviously injured and Bumo injured. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's actually a few players there that's tricky. Although, like you said, Douglas Luiz being suspended for this week when you need him for the blank actually could be a bit of a blessing. I've got the same with Charlie Taylor. He got his fifth booking. He's suspended, but I need him for the blank. So actually, it's not too bad. But it's just that I had exactly the same a couple of weeks ago, like I was saying to Rich before the stream, saying that when I went off Gordon, it felt like I was already ahead of where I needed to be. And obviously, then I made that move, which set me back. So, and it kind of feels the same, obviously, if you would have held. But in what world would you have held in terms of this was your plan and you had no idea
how? Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I think, again, I don't mean to be too self-indulgent here, so apologies if we're dwelling on it for too long. But, like, this is one of those, I think the no Haaland plan went fine. Certainly could have gone, but like Luke, again, we mentioned him earlier, is, well, he was about 10K. Now he's about 30K because he did a very similar thing to me, had the same experience. But with his no Haaland team, he had like Trent, right? He had Trent and I think he had Poro as well.
Yeah.
So he's done really, really well. He's, you know, done better than me. So I think the no Haaland plan was pretty solid. You could have done well with Haaland as well. Of course, it wasn't a mutually exclusive thing. And then the reversing it for Luton, one of the worst teams in the league, where Haaland would be massively captained. Yes, there's a blank, but as you can see, I had a team that could handle the blank. He has lovely other fixtures. I think the plan made a lot of sense. So if there was a takeaway from this, again, for anyone who's in a similar situation to me, it's don't like look at this and, you know, burn those plans and think it's all gone terribly wrong and you're awful at the game. Maybe I'm awful at the game. But in this situation, it's just a filthy, unlucky blow, isn't it? And you kind of just got to roll and carry on. I mean, you can finish the season absolutely fine, basically, no matter what happens in any single week. So really don't let it get you down.
Yeah. You can't really script this. As in, we obviously, the risk you took was that Haaland could punish you. And he has, but just not in like the orthodox way. It's like in the most roundabout way.
He found a way to get me.
He did, even when you'd bought him. Like, yeah.
He knew, man. He knew.
Exactly. And the talk of this week is all going to be about Haaland because he is the most expensive player on the game. There is only one striker that's anywhere near him this season in terms of Watkins, and he is ridiculously less expensive than Haaland is. So obviously all the talk is going to be about Haaland. Now, I've got down here at the bottom, so obviously he's injured. We don't know exactly how long he's injured for. It says he's got a stress fracture? Is that what it is? I can't remember the exact word.
I think it's not a fracture. So whatever that means.
Bone stress?
It's not a stress fracture, it's a stress... We shouldn't look this up, really.
He's stressed. His ankle is stressed. Suffering with stress
of just not being in my FPL team.
Yes, his ankle is stressed. And so we don't really know how long he's out for. By the sounds of things, we're hearing varying reports about what we're going to be expecting from him moving forward in terms of when he's going to play. There was the indication that maybe he'll play against Crystal Palace. Pep came out and said, I don't think so. Then obviously he's got the blank game week. And then he's got Everton and Sheffield United in the next two after that. So he's very kind of up in the air at the moment. But he is 14 million of a player that we're not really sure when he's going to be next be playing. He's 84% owned, 83.9% owned, as you can see on the graphic on here. Now, I put a tweet up today. I got almost 2,000 votes on it saying, what are our initial thoughts on Haaland? Do we keep him or do we sell him? And it's Brexit levels of voting in terms of it's 45% to 54%. Like, it is really close as to what people are going to do. In other words, we're not really sure, and everybody's kind of 50-50 as to what they're going to do with him. Now, we have to have the chat about what we're going to do about Haaland. Obviously, we all own him. Seb, you're a more recent owner than myself and Rich. But Rich, if I start with you, just talk us through your thinking at the moment on Haaland, because this is definitely... Don't get me wrong, we're going to wait, obviously, for probably most of the week, because whoever we want to move to is going to be cheaper than him. But what's your initial thoughts on it at the moment?
I mean, ideally, we wait and find out a clear answer, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I think a lot of this, we're just going to have to assume he's out unless we hear otherwise. Because, I mean, everything seems to be leaning towards he is out. You mentioned, obviously, Pep's interview, didn't you? But there was an 8-minute interview, and he basically said Haaland wouldn't play against Palace, maybe Saudi Arabia, which is the Club World Cup. But then later in that same interview, he was asked again and said maybe he could make the Palace game. But that's just typical Pep. And I think people in the chat have mentioned it. You know, some Norwegians have done some digging and seen that within Pep's own family mini league, there's people in his hometown. They've all sold him, whether it's for free or whether it's for hits.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot to take away with that. I mean, if you knew Haaland was out and they're playing Luton, I think the switch to Alvarez is quite easy, even if you're then going to go back to him. Because let's be honest, we all got salivised captain. If we knew before the deadline, I think we'd have bought Alvarez and we'd have captained him, for example. Wait, what did I say there? What did I say wrong?
We all got salivised captain.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I meant that. Oh, gosh.
Wow.
I've got to be careful how I speak.
I might buy Richarlison.
Rich knew what he was doing. Rich knew what he was doing.
Us OG Haaland owners.
those of us, despite the massive blunder, still not the top ranked on the Scoutcast.
I do apologise, all right?
I can only say that because we're all outside like the top 100. If we were like, if one of us were like 10K, it sounds awful. But we're all doing all right, you know.
So what would you be doing then, Rich?
Isn't there like only a couple of points? Sorry, tangent there. But I was, because you mentioned it, was it last week, Andy?
Yeah.
I fully expect this to be like a total flip between our ranks. It is, because there's a few hundred K between us. It is very, very tight. I know we've been saying this literally for half a season, but it still is very, very tight between probably any rank that you could desire in 4 or 5 months' time.
It's around 20 points between you and Rich, I believe.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. But Rich, so what are you saying to do then with Haaland? Are you saying sell him because we don't know whether he's going to play? We don't know whether he's going to play against Crystal Palace. Then he's got the blank game week. Are you saying sell 14 million on your bench? How can you have 14 million just sat there on your bench? You can get another player in for 2 weeks. Or are you saying keep him because actually you need to use a transfer to get him out. You need to use a transfer to get him in. And you've probably got other fires elsewhere.
Let's work with the assumption he's out. Because I think if he's fit, we're just going to keep him.
Yeah.
Let's say he is out, or it seems very, very likely he's out. I have no problem with selling him, but I think there will be some teams out there that can just hold him for 2 weeks. Like, I really do. I mean, just looking at my team, for example, if I had Watkins instead of Darwin, I could do Pedro up to Solanke, basically have Haaland on the bench and quite happily just carry that through. I mean, I think the alternative strikers, we'll probably get to those, but it's basically Solanke, Alvarez, and Watkins. They're going to be the three you want to look at. So it really does depend, you know, how your team's going to look over the next two and whether you're happy with your defenders, happy with your midfielders and can cover it, you know, a 3-5-2, 4-5-1 next week.
I mean, if you've got a defender that will play, you know, this week, would you just play that defender, even if they've got an awful fixture, would you just play them knowing that you're probably going to get more from a Haaland replacement than you would from a defender? You know, for instance, you could move up to, I don't know, even a Newcastle defender, it might not even be an upgrade. But if you could downgrade Haaland to another striker, is that a better move than trying to, you know, fix your defender that's at least going to play?
The weird thing this week is obviously we can't go Trippier because Trippier's suspended. So you can't really spend that money. I mean, yeah, you could go to Livramento, who's probably going to play at right back. But despite them being at home, they've got Champions League midweek as well. I mean, I think Solanke is better than most of the defenders this week. I think that's quite clear because obviously he's at home to Luton. So I'd rather have Solanke than the defender. But then it's, do you have Watkins or not? If you don't have Watkins, you're probably going to want him next week. A lot of people are saying Watkins is the best captain next week. I'm still not sure on that. I think Son might push him close or might actually be the better captain next week, despite not playing Sheffield United.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Go up. Potentially improving anyway. So, I mean, in an ideal world, let's say I was wildcarding this week, I think the best strikers are Alvarez, Solanke and Watkins, and then a close mention to Darwin, who I don't think's actually that bad.
I mean, Seb, Rich said it there about Haaland. And is there a bit of a cautionary tale there in terms of do not spread the funds? So if you are going to sell Haaland, for instance, he mentioned maybe you could move up to Trippier. Does that make it incredibly hard to get him back? For instance, if he is back for Everton away and we're going to want to get him straight back in again, spreading those funds seems maybe not the best idea.
It depends when you want him back, right? So if it's within two transfers time, so three game weeks, I guess, as it were, then spreading it obviously means you're spending, presumably, unless you're spreading but selling then Salah maybe. It makes it harder, but I guess I wonder if that's the thing. If when Everton come around on the 27th of December, Salah has, I think Salah annoyingly, is it on the 30th he has Burnley, I want to say? I'll just have a look so I don't talk absolute nonsense. I'll look at Darwin because I don't own Salah. 26th of December. So in game week 19, Liverpool have Burnley away. It's preceded by Man United and Arsenal, followed by Newcastle. And then there's a big break in which Salah will be off. So Newcastle on the first, and then there's a break to Bournemouth, and Salah won't be around for Bournemouth, presumably. So I think like there is a scenario where you could spread and then contract again because you're sort of selling Salah instead. So you're finding the funds in Salah rather than having to like make many transfers to work it again. So you're swapping Salah to Haaland then, effectively. I guess that could work. But generally, yeah, I would agree with the idea that especially if you're involving hits, you don't want to be spreading too much. And we're recording, obviously, on Monday. The deadline's on Friday this week. There is the best part of a week to hear more about Haaland, whether it's from Pep, whether it's from, you know, leaks or just learning a bit more about, you know, anything that's out there, learning more about the injury. We'll probably have a better idea than we do now on Haaland. So I would wait if I could. I suppose people may be in the position where they have an ideal setup. Maybe that's like Haaland to Watkins and a defender to Trent or whatever it is. That means they need like 0.1 left over in the bank to make it work. In that situation, yeah, you'll probably feel the pressure to take it early. But I'd still be tempted to wait because I think the important thing over this period is getting yourself set up nicely again from 20 onwards. Mm-hmm. and that period may not include Salah, and then very shortly afterwards Son, and then there's obviously this blank and potential double, which we've still not heard about. Maybe we will, I'm not so sure. Mbeumo probably won't be involved in that, so maybe we're less worried about getting Brentford assets, but I still think it would be worth one or two if you could. But City have lovely fixtures all around this period, so even discarding Haaland, while we probably don't want triple City for 18, we might want triple or at the very least double City at some point soon. So I think it's more about setting your team up to get through this next period and not hyper-focusing too much on Haaland, even though right now it obviously feels like the big issue in our teams.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head a little bit there in terms of how we're using our transfers, because as I said earlier, if you're going to sell Haaland, get Haaland back potentially for the Everton fixture, then after the next fixture, you're going to be looking at getting Salah and Son out, because they're both going to be out for quite a while then, because the next fixture's the 13th of January, and I believe they're both going to be gone by then. I could be wrong there, but I think that's right. And then Son in particular won't be back until beginning of February.
Say again, date-wise, sorry?
So that Newcastle fixture, so the 13th of January, Salah and Son will be gone by then, won't they?
Yeah. I think Son...
Son's a little bit later. Salah's first.
So Son potentially could only miss like one or two games. It depends how far South Korea get. Because there is actually a gap in the Premier League as well, which helps that little bit, doesn't it? Because we've got like a two-week break.
Yeah, so from roughly the 1st to like the 20th-ish, there aren't any Premier League games because we have the FA Cup in there. And then obviously not a weekend of Premier League. So there's effectively a two-week gap in terms of what we care about for FPL, at which point Salah will have gone. And also, if we presume Egypt will get far, which they may well do, he will probably be gone for the best part of the tournament. Whereas, as Rich said, I think Son, sort of my head, I think he leaves later. I think the tournament starts later. And also, South Korea may be less fancy than Egypt relatively, although I'm not sure on that.
Yeah.
So, just to go back to, I don't want to sound too much like Praz here, but I know this is something he would say. And it's quite interesting because obviously there's a very, very short turnaround time. So obviously, Man City go away to Saudi Arabia. We're hoping, you know, that he's then back for this Everton game. I say we're hoping, but, you know, if you hold Haaland or you've got a plan to get Haaland back in on the 27th of December in the evening, 8:15 kickoff, Wednesday the 27th of December, they've got that game against Everton. And then on Saturday, they play at lunchtime at home to Sheffield United. So it's a really, really short turnaround. So then you've got the question of, and I don't know if you want to gamble on it, is Haaland going to play both games? We probably will have more idea once, you know, the Club World Cup's out of the way, because we can see how much, you know, he plays in that. There is also that, but then do you want to be the person who gambles and then he does play against Everton, he does play against Sheffield United?
Yeah. It's genuinely quite a tough choice to have to make. I mean, it's great because we want these kind of choices, but it's probably come at one of the worst times because of the other suspensions and injuries that have happened. And Seb, if we go back to you now then, so if we go to the assumption that he will not be available for Crystal Palace, so he's going to miss two game weeks, is he a sell or a hold for you?
Well, as in, so he's not available for Palace, and obviously then he has a blank.
Yeah.
I feel like that's partly what we're trying to wait to find out, because I think there's a fair assumption that he misses Palace. But then a lot of this conversation is somewhat agnostic of that, as long as you have a team. Because as mentioned, you know, it's two transfers in 2 weeks. And if you're trying to spread funds, that's why then it gets tough. I think the Salah Son thing comes in there, where you're effectively maybe transferring them out to get Haaland back. So if he had Palace, I think there's no scenario anyone sells. I don't think anyone would sell. Like, maybe they'd sell in 18 if they were going to. That's fair enough. So I think it's more about whether we think he then makes what comes after the blank.
And if you were to sell, Seb, who would be front running for you? If you had any options, you did. Maybe Haaland was your only striker. If you had to sell him, or you wanted to sell him, and you wanted to go to another striker, who would you be going to, do you think?
Sorry, my friend, let me unmute myself. So I think Rich mentioned Watkins, Alvarez, and Solanke. Obviously, slightly different tastes there. Solanke more of an enabler, but still very, very good in his own right, an analytics favourite as well. The only other one I'd add to the list is if we got Newcastle. I guess injuries is what you need, right? You need one of them to get injured and one of them to be fit, because they have nice fixtures. They are very, very good players. So, and a good price. Isak or Wilson could be nice, but while both of them are fit, especially with tight fixtures, I don't think you can do that. So it probably is the three that Rich mentioned.
Yeah. And Rich, you mentioned Alvarez as well. It sticks a little bit with me where Alvarez, obviously that Crystal Palace home fixture is nice, but then to bring in another City forward that's going to also blank him in 18, does it seem a little bit risky, or do you think the upside's enough because of the other three games around it?
I mean, I don't think the blank, if you're selling Haaland, for example, for Alvarez, I don't think the blank's a problem. People sold Mbeumo last week.
Mm-hmm.
We're then not going to have potentially not have many, if any, City players either. So I think you can quite easily carry Alvarez through.
Mm-hmm.
You've almost then got the reverse hedge that if there's any doubt over Haaland, you know, coming out of the Club World Cup, you've got Alvarez, who potentially is one of the best captains in those two game weeks, especially the Sheffield United game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be a good option because I think it's quite easy to carry him through. Whether I'd captain in this game week at home to Palace, I'm not sure. We'd assume he gets penalties, but I don't think that's been confirmed. I'd need to look into that like a little bit more. I'd probably still feel better rather with the Salah captain.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alvarez, I think, is very, very tempting.
Hmm.
One thing I just want to throw in from Spartans in the chat, just adding some information so that people listening later get the best information we can offer, or if it's wrong, blame Spartans, not us, that's what I'm saying. says that, for info, there is only one day difference between the start of AFCON and the Asia Cup. Egypt and South Korea, respectively, are currently fifth favourites with the bookies for each of their respective competitions. So I think I mentioned earlier, basically saying Salah would go earlier than Son and Salah might get further. It sounds like, to be fair, based on that information there, based on the odds, it's probably pretty even. I guess we'd keep an eye on that. We'd monitor it as the competitions evolve, right? If one of them's going to come home on a Wednesday and there's a match on a Saturday, maybe there's a chance they make it. That would affect our transfers, of course. But that's something we'll have to monitor, and we can't really guess any better than the information Spartans has just kindly shared there.
Yeah, very nice. Right, and obviously the other thing that we haven't mentioned, although I think Rich touched on it just a little bit earlier as well, was that if we get any indication that he's going to play against Crystal Palace, then obviously he's a hold. And a lot of people seem to be going early. Quite a few people, especially if they've got two free transfers, want to make those two transfers quite quickly. Seems quite risky.
Maybe I'm missing something there, but I don't... Other than sort of just wanting to shake that Haaland voodoo off, I don't know why you'd go early. I guess it must be budget things, right? It must be... I have a plan. If prices change, I'm priced out and I don't have a backup plan. I understand that. I obviously encourage people to look for a backup plan. Brilliant, says the guy whose plan just went to nonsense. But yeah, I wouldn't be, if possible, I wouldn't be going early, because just imagine he's fit for Palace. And it's Pep, it's Haaland. Of all the teams and players in the league where you'd go, oh, he's fine and he scored four goals, it'd be them, wouldn't it?
And I think there is a scenario where you can go early. I mean, ooh. I'm in that scenario at the moment. Not selling Haaland. I'm not talking about selling Haaland.
Oh.
But for example, I've got not the exact money, but it's very, very, very tight. And I haven't got Watkins to go from Pedro up to Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moves I'd be looking at potentially would be to bring in Solanke for Pedro. And then if I want to, I might do a hit Haaland to Watkins.
Yeah,
but they're obviously independent transfers. So if your second, if your first transfer doesn't affect the second, I think you can, because I've got this whole plan of transfers where there's very little wiggle room.
Would this be you're doing? Was it Pedro to?
I'm doing Pedro to Solanke. So if say someone had the
exact Pedro
money
to Solanke in isolation, that doesn't rely on Haaland.
No, it's completely irrelevant.
And then if Haaland is definitely out, you'd be taking a hit to bring in Watkins instead.
I wouldn't have to.
Right.
What, potentially.
So I don't have your team in front of me, but assuming you can field 11 and they're an all right 11, why would you take a hit to have Watkins, 4 points behind whoever your bench option would be?
Because I've got this, without going into my specific team too much, there's a whole plan. I haven't got Watkins, for example. It looks like he's actually rising tonight. Darwin's probably going to drop once or twice. I've got about 0.2, 0.3 wiggle room. Solanke's going to go up. So basically it's funds to get through the blank game week. So I think if someone's got that scenario, I'd say it's probably more common with someone like Archer, and you've got very little wiggle room and you're very, very set. You want Solanke. I don't think it's that big a problem. And yes, my bench, I mean, I've got Garnacho away at Anfield. So is that a bench player?
Mm.
I mean, you brought him in last week, surely.
Yeah, I just think people, because there are people obviously without Watkins, where we have to think about possibly a way to get Watkins in.
I don't have Watkins, yeah. I think Son is the best captain in 18. Based on the information we have now, I think he's the best captain. And I think it's relatively
I agree. But there's a lot of people saying that Watkins is the best captain.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So I think if you have Son, that removes that I must get Watkins. If you don't have Son or Watkins, you probably don't have the two best captains in that week. Probably.
I like to have the best captain and vice captain, though.
Oh,
I wouldn't know about that, mate. That was good thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
To be fair, I had Son, so I've been fine.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Just should have actually vice captained him, not Alvarez. But yeah, so I think if you don't have either of them, I understand the desire to get one, if not both. But if you do have one, obviously then you can double their points, all two of them probably. And I think Watkins is a really good get for that week, but not one of those essential, I must be taking -4s to do it. I think if you can get 11 out, you know, there are other Villa players as well, if you just really fancy that fixture. I think it's okay to go without if you're having to really stretch. Like, if you're not, definitely get Watkins. But if it's going to cost you a -4 and potentially, you know, reshuffling, sacrificing a Haaland, having a Haaland problem later, maybe don't get too obsessed by that move.
See, I'm quite anti-hit, but I do think, and I know we're getting way too much into transfers here, but I do think, like, there's, you know, we just had Mbeumo get injured. Then we've had Haaland get injured. I think we can justify hits to ourselves. I think, you know, that's quite a lot of injuries that's happened. Like, back-to-back, pretty much season keepers, both of them.
Yeah.
But I don't think what you've just said justifies a hit in isolation, the logic there. Because Mbumi's been injured, because Haaland's been injured, because whoever else has been injured, that doesn't mean I have to take a hit just because players I've had for a while.
That's what I tell myself to make myself feel better.
Oh, yeah, I feel like it's one of those, like, oh, everyone's taking a hit and therefore it's fine. It's like, no, don't take a hit and be 4 points up on everyone. Like, it's always the same value, right? Unless doubles, blanks, can't field a team, etc. I think we can justify it to ourselves and make it sound like it's fine, but it's always 4 points.
Mm. I would love to move on to the next bit about Haaland, but I'm still mentally recovering from that attack Rich did on Seb just then about the vice captain.
I am sorry, Seb.
Literally,
I
was thinking, should I say it?
When you listen to something, you don't really know what to say.
anyway, I get that reaction a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wonder why. Rich, just very quickly before we finally move off Haaland, I think it's the longest we've ever been on a segment for, but we do have almost 1,000 people watching, so thank you so much for tuning in to us tonight. Before we move off this, Rich, now, obviously I talked to Mark Southerns before we stream, and he has got that little bit of a feeling that this might be a bit of a smokescreen from Pep, that it's a kind of, oh yeah, he's injured, but actually he's going to be absolutely fine for Crystal Palace, and actually he's just, you know, overplaying his injury. In your opinion, I know you've mentioned already about kind of going early, there could be a viable strategy there, but yours wasn't about selling Haaland early, was it? Waiting for news this week seems extremely sensible, doesn't it?
With Haaland, yes. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, I guess having a blank as well, probably does reduce the risk of it, doesn't it? Because, I mean, yeah, if he ends up playing, you know he's not going to play the next week.
Yeah.
So it's not like a normal game week, like, at all. It's kind of, like, it's quite fortunate if you do sell early that you've got a blank afterwards anyway. So it actually could end up paying off. But no, I would try and wait as long as possible. And yeah, despite what I just said, I've obviously got a very specific route in my mind where every 0.1 counts, and I'm quite set potentially on going that way. So I think there are scenarios, especially, you know, if you really, really wanted Solanke, that was all my point was, and otherwise you're going to be priced out. I think he looks like a great asset to have now.
Yeah.
If you're really looking in the future, he's the best captain in game week 28 when Liverpool play Man City, for example. So I'm just saying, obviously his trajectory is on the up. Scoring is annoying because his price is going up. But yeah, I would try and hold off on Haaland. If he was out longer, I mean, actually, that's kind of an irrelevant point I was going to make.
We don't know.
But yeah.
For what it's worth as well, I don't think there's any ruse involved here. Like, Haaland wasn't in the squad at all. If he was being rested, I don't know why Pep would lie about that. And I would imagine he would be on the bench just in case they were 1-0 down at half time, you know? I don't think he would just lie about an injury. You know, it's not international duty. He doesn't have to protect him from anyone else and then leave him out completely if he was just trying to rest him, which, to be fair, isn't really something he's done in the last year. You know, over a year ago, I remember being on the side of thinking Haaland would get many fewer minutes than he has. And I guess, ironically, I've finally come full circle and been punished by having too much confidence in his fitness and his minutes. But there was a time when we definitely thought he would play less than he has. And I think he's played basically every moment he's been available, apart from, you know, actual injury, which I think this one is. Yeah.
A lot of people in the chat, by the way, are saying as well, if his own dad has sold him an FPL, then we can definitely sell him too. So
I mean, I think that's a good shout. Like, that does suggest that his dad knows he'll be out for a little bit. Or his dad's just a trigger happy FPL manager, mate.
Yeah. I mean, if
he was 1.2 million.
If it was my dad, I mean, he'd be doing it just because of me. Right,
he wouldn't have owned you.
Yeah, exactly. He would never have owned me. He would be playing FPL. He'd be like, nope, never. Right, moving on to our over or under section now. Now, this is quite an interesting one, obviously, this week, because there's a lot of strikers on here. There's also some players that aren't strikers, but there's a lot of strikers on here. So, for people that haven't watched Over or Under before, we have 3 weeks for the player that we are going to mention, and then we're going to try and decide whether we think they're going to go over or under the projected points. Obviously, some are going to be lower, some are going to be higher, but it's worth talking about. So, we've got Solanke up first. He's got Luton at home, Forest away, Fulham at home. Bournemouth are probably one of the most informed teams in the league at the moment, scoring goals for fun, beating fantastic teams for fun as well. Rich, we've got him as 14.5 points with those three lovely fixtures. What do you think? Over or under 14.5 points?
Without wanting to jinx him, he's going to play every single minute or close enough of those games. So I think that's an easy over. Do you think that's an easy over?
Yep. Seb, what do you think?
Over!
Yeah. See, this is the thing for me. Like, my move this week is likely, unless Haaland's going to play against Palace, is likely Haaland to Solanke, because I could just see Solanke getting points in these next three fixtures. I really can. And yeah, we're going to talk about it when I get to it in a minute, but you've just both gone comfortably over, and I completely agree with both of you.
I am quite biased and attached, though, because I have bought Garnacho in my team to enable it. So yeah, I'm kind of, just continue blindly with the plan. He will.
I love the idea that you've had to buy Garnacho to enable an also really cheap striker.
Isak is up next. He's got Fulham at home, Luton away, Nottingham Forest at home. I mean, again, these fixtures are just absolutely beautiful. They're exactly the same as Bournemouth's. So we've got 12.5 for him there. Yeah, 12.5 for him there, Seb. 12.5 for a player because we're assuming there might be a little bit of rotation.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, I'd love to just bang out another over here and be super confident, but there's every chance he loses 50% of those minutes to Wilson. And at that point, it becomes tougher. Mm-hmm. I will give you a real tentative over, because obviously 12.5 for a striker, say two goals in a match, so 4-4-8, turn up for 10, and then obviously take home the bonus, could probably clear it in one match, which I think is possible. But say he doesn't score against Fulham. Hey, well, you know, scoring goals and keeping clean sheets for fun at the moment. Maybe you'd start being a bit more nervous about it, but I'll give you over for now.
Yeah. Rich?
So I've got him at 12 in my head, so I'm going for an under. I can see a nine-pointer, definitely, like his score, but I think there will be a benching. I mean, we'll see what happens in the Champions League. That will probably, it probably won't help us predict his minutes, but we can pretend it would be easier to predict his minutes after the Champions League. So yeah, I'm going under.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's the kind of player, he could be anything. You know, he could double that, or he could get 3 points.
Quite volatile. Pedro Porro's up next, Rich. So he's got Nottingham Forest away. Everybody seems to be playing Forest. They got Nottingham Forest away, then Everton at home, and Brighton and Hove Albion away. 12.5 are giving him at the moment. He is extremely popular at the moment, for a good reason as well. What do you think, 12.5, over or under?
I don't see many clean sheets. I'm gonna go over, but I could see it being like 5-5-2, which would be 12. I'm going to go over.
Fair enough, Seb.
See, I'm going to go just under, but for similar reasoning to Rich. So I think this weekend was a really good example. He got the assist, was on a clean sheet, and I think was on for about 12 points with that.
Yeah.
Dropped down to five when they conceded. Everton, despite their place in the table, even if you give them their 10 points back, their underlying numbers are excellent for that level of team, especially their attacking numbers. So I don't think Spurs keep a clean sheet to Everton. And we know Brighton. I don't think they keep a clean sheet there either, especially, you know, they've got their own injuries in defence. We've seen that has been a struggle for them the last few weeks, even if the attack is still okay. So I think you're probably relying on at least multiple attacking returns or a clean sheet bonus and attacking returns in, say, the Forest match. So I think he just struggles to clear it.
Yeah. Raul Jimenez up next. I don't know whether we're about 5 years in the past now, but Raul Jimenez is cleaning up at the moment. Fulham cannot stop scoring goals. I think we mentioned about 3-4 weeks ago about Fulham midfielders never intending to get them. And obviously Willian and Iwobi and Andreas Pereira have been cleaning up, and Raul Jimenez is as well. And obviously he could be on pens as well if Willian's out at the moment. So 11.5 are projecting him at the moment. He's got Newcastle away, one of the toughest fixtures, but Newcastle have certainly been conceding goals at the moment. Then Burnley at home and Bournemouth away. Seb, what do you think? 11.5 for Jimenez.
There was a time, I think was it 2 years ago, that I had Raul Jimenez and Patrick Bamford in my team, and other people were getting Cristiano Ronaldo, and I was adamant that those two, obviously those two would outscore him because it's two players versus one, but that team set up would outscore the Ronaldo team. Pleasingly, it did. I think it was by like 1 point in the end, so it was a very Pyrrhic victory. But I think times have moved on. Yeah, Fulham have looked very, very good in the last few weeks, and Jimenez has benefited from that. But I think that Newcastle fixture is tough. Burnley at home, Bournemouth away. Bournemouth have improved, or at least are on an upward trend. So I think while he may get points, he may come just under that, because how they're scoring at the moment is probably a ceiling rather than like an average or God forbid, a floor.
Yeah. What do you think, Rich?
Oh, it's tough. I own him in my draft team purely because
I do as well.
all the other strikers were picked, so it's like I'll just go for the.
That's probably a really good one to be fair as well, because like everyone ignoring him and then just get it uncontested. Yeah,
there's not many strikers in fantasy this year when everyone's got three. I'm gonna go over. I mean, I don't feel overly confident about it. He doesn't see. From memory, he doesn't get 90 minutes every week. He's not on penalties, although. Well, Willian's injured, isn't he? But does it just go back to Andreas or?
I mean, they both got Raul Jimenez, especially when he was at Wolves. He was a very good penalty taker. He had a very good conversion.
He was good on bonus, wasn't he? Mm. So, yeah, I'm going to go over. You've got these lines really close, though. That,
thank you.
Like, a lot of them I've thought is going to be half under or half over. I'm going to go half over for Himi.
Do you know what?
Himi? Why did I call him that?
I have no idea.
Jimmy, Rao Himi.
Yeah. Somebody complained once saying, why do we just use Andy's arbitrary things? And actually, there's very, very rare that you guys go, oh, that's an easy one. Like, I'm usually not too far away because I just make these up.
I think you've improved. I think the early ones were just a little bit. Stop. But you'd have like Salah over five games, like six.
Shut up.
Just looking at Jimenez's penalty record, by the way, on transfer market, that is. So take that as correct if you want. 36 taken. 34 scored, 2 missed. That is excellent.
Yeah. And he scored one against Burnley that wiped out all my clean sheets.
Yeah. we got Julian Alvarez up next. He's got Crystal Palace at home, then a blank, then Everton away. 9.5 are projected him at the moment. What do you think, Rich?
Got to go over. You know, if we're assuming Haaland's out, got to go over. But obviously predicting over two games is harder than the three. But yes, I'm going over.
So, does Haaland out mean more points for Alvarez? It means he's on penalty. It means
my
he's
assumption
on penalties.
Is, yeah, penalties.
Is he definitely, okay. though?
Why, I mean, I don't know about definitely.
He's on pens.
I don't know about definitely.
I mean, to be fair, he's taken them when Haaland... I think he is. I'd be pretty confident in saying there isn't anyone else, unless I'm being an idiot, there's no one else on that team, on that field, that regularly has taken pens. And Alvarez has taken them in the past when Haaland hasn't played, like when he's subbed off or when he's not been available in the team.
Edison, mate.
Oh, no, good point. Point taken.
Imagine that came
through. I withdraw
through.
My argument. Fair enough.
I mean, so Neil, I assume it's Neil, but on Fantasy Football Scout, they've obviously got the penalty takers, and it's Haaland, Alvarez, De Bruyne.
Yeah, okay.
In that order.
Then Edison.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a shame.
Maybe my screen's, like, this monitor's too small, so Possibly. You have to. Possibly. Someone will have to scroll right.
Just keep scrolling. Keep scrolling. Yeah. and last up, and I know I've been doing this in an order, but I'm going to go to Rich first on this one because it's Richarlison next. He's got Nottingham Forest away, Everton at home, Brighton away. 14.5. Chat have been giving me stick. 14.5 for Richarlison. From everything we've been hearing, he's going to be playing up top now. Son's going to be playing on the left. What do you think, Rich? 14.5 points, midfielder, playing up top for Spurs in this Ange team, over or under?
I don't want to overreact to the game yesterday. And obviously these games are going to be before the Asia Cup, so
I'm teeing you up
not
here,
on pens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go under. I am going to go under. I'm not going to overreact. But if it wasn't for the Haaland injury, I'd genuinely think about doing Garnacho to Richarlison this week. So I do like him, but I just think 14.5 seems very, very high. You know, it's the same as Lord Solanke, for example.
Who doesn't get clean sheet points and doesn't get the extra point for a goal.
Well, Spurs don't get clean sheets.
True.
So
that's very true. Seb, what do you think? Are you gonna overreact?
Maybe, but I'm going to underscore him.
Yeah.
He played, maybe we don't take too much information from this, but he played up front at the start of the season and was fine, but didn't really return any FPL points. And I don't think he had the underlying numbers that suggested he was just being unlucky or anything. Absolutely could be playing better now. Spurs could be playing better. It could be working better for him for sure, because Son was poor out wide at the beginning of the season as well. Then he came centre and did much better and seemed to maintain that despite playing wider this week. So sure, things can change, but 14.5 is quite a lot of points for a player who I don't think has found that consistent scoring at Spurs yet. And hey, Forest is an all right fixture, but Everton and Brighton aren't bankers. So yeah, I think under 14.5, which is a big target to aim for.
Fair enough. Right, let's move on to our bus teams then. So this is my bus team. This is without any transfers done yet. So I've got Dubravka in goal, Saliba, Tsimikas and Maguire at the back at the moment because Taylor got suspended. Saka, Gordon, Son, Salah and Palmer in midfield with Salah as my captain at the moment. That's how much faith I have in my own team. I love in my midfield, obviously. And then Haaland and Watkins up top at the moment. If I were to do no transfers and to roll, then I'd be playing Archer against Chelsea away, which might not be that bad, considering how Chelsea are playing at times at the moment. I am almost certain, I'm going to obviously wait for news, I'm almost certain I'm going to be doing Haaland to Solanke this week. I have 1.9 in the bank at the moment. Not that I need that to do the Haaland Solanke move, by the way. But I have 1.9 in the bank, and I was 0.1 away, I think, from doing Archer to Solanke, which is the move I wanted to do. It was either that or I was going to try and do Maguire to Trippier or even do Maguire to just any Newcastle defender before the Haaland injury, because I wanted those Newcastle players for the lovely run they've got for the next 3 weeks. But what I've looked at doing now is probably going to be doing Haaland to Solanke, then moving Mitchell to a Newcastle defender next week, or a Newcastle defender or someone that's cheaper than Mitchell, and then I can go back up to Haaland from Archer, basically. So go literally the lowest lowest striker you can get to the highest striker you can get in one hit. We'll see
Archer
what happens.
To Haaland, I can recommend.
Yeah, we can see what happens, but that's my rough plan at the moment. I think captaincy will be Salah. Salah at home to Man United could just be silly, to be perfectly honest. If it wasn't here, I've got Palmer on the vice captaincy at the moment, and I wasn't going to think too much about that, but then I remembered Seb's story of woe and I thought, oh god, no, actually maybe I should think about this a little bit more. But it is on him at the moment. But yeah, I think, yeah, somebody said it in the chat, so what are you going to be doing, Haaland in, Haaland out? Thing is, we have no guarantee Haaland will 100% be back after the blank game week. So if I sell Haaland and we find out he's not out, I'm already not got him. So yeah, I'm happy using my transfer to get him back in if I need to. And yes, I know I'm going to be using transfers to get rid of Salah and Son the weeks after as well. But I just feel like, and this is why we've been chatting about it tonight, I feel like, especially with Solanke having that nice home fixture against Luton, I feel like that's a nice move to be able to make. And I can still get Haaland back in those two moves when I might want him back anyway. So yes, that is the way I'm wanting to move. There's not a lot of other people I really want to get, to be perfectly honest.
Is it 0.1 you're short of Archer to Solanke?
I think it might be 0.2 now. Solanke might have gone up 0.1.
He had a rise on, I think it was Saturday night, he went up 0.1. Because I'm just thinking, I mean, obviously where you want to use your transfers is your defenders.
Yeah.
But and it's just a shame you're 0.1 short. Because then actually you'd be an example of where, let's say I had the exact money, I would just do Archer to Solanke before he rises.
Yeah, but obviously I can't do that. Yeah.
No, no, of course. I'm just thinking, I mean, if you could find point one elsewhere and that defender, on a defender, for example, and that defender transfer helps you in 18, and then it means you keep Haaland as well. Because I think there are, you're close to a scenario where you could consider keeping him if he's definitely going to be back, you know, for that Everton game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in my head, I've just been thinking, if I do keep him, I can't move Archer up to Solanke. So actually, there's not a lot else I'm going to be using or doing there with that money that's going to give me more points in the next 2 weeks. It's just, and I know this is what Seb will say, it's using those two transfers. Are the points you're going to be accumulating going to counterbalance the two transfers you're going to use to get rid of Haaland and get Haaland back? But we still have no guarantee Haaland will be back after that blank game week. And nobody knows that either. So it's I think just that.
Then you could consider Alvarez.
But when will Haaland be back? It's really interesting, right? Because, of course, there's a scenario where, you know, we get to game week 21, 22, and he's still out, and it was incredibly obvious to sell him. Especially, and chat have been mentioning this all night, which is some great sleuthing. As we've said, I think, you know, various family members, his dad, his brother, his whoever, have sold him in FPL, which I think is a really interesting piece of insight. And that, of course, suggests that he is injured for Palace at the very, very least, if not. But the other variable there is we don't know if they're any good at FPL. We don't know if, you know, it's like when, well, you know, when like you see like professional players and we see their teams sometimes each week and it's like, oh, so-and-so's teammate has sold them and then they start. Or it's like, yes, they have inside info, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're good at translating it to FPL or good at translating it to FPL in sort of like a forward-looking sense. They could just definitely know Haaland is out for Palace. And maybe they didn't own Salah, and so I'm moving Haaland to Salah, or they know he's injured for 1 week, so they're just taking that and making a move. I don't think it means he's definitely out for, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks or anything, but it does heighten the chances, right? It does push me further towards him being out longer than if the opposite was true, if none of them had sold him, for example.
I just want to say, because I think the fixture, even if, let's say we knew that Haaland before the deadline was out, who does it benefit the most? It benefits Alvarez. Yeah. Because you'll get in that, like we talked about, the penalty taker. So I actually think if a lot of us knew and it was only going to be 1 week, you'd still do Haaland to Alvarez, even if it was potentially even for a hit, maybe not. And then just do Alvarez back to Haaland, because Haaland's not had any price increases. So while I do think Haaland's out, I don't think that the family members and friends doing that transfer is conclusive.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good fixture. It was Luton.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I agree. It's an easy... It's not like you're having to destroy teams. That's a better example than my Salah one, yeah. If they've just done Haaland to Alvarez because they know he's going to start and then they can reverse it, jobs are good.
Yeah.
Especially with the blank as well, like you say, right? They know they've got a few weeks.
It's just annoying because obviously I think defence is where I would be making the moves this week. But because of the Haaland one, that's where I feel like the most upside is in terms of making that move. And it's Solanke that I wanted this week, and it just seems like a good opportunity to obviously get Solanke. And... as I've said, I can get back to Haaland in that week. It just means I'm using all my transfers on them. But then I want Taylor for the next week, and Mitchell could be going down next week. He's the player that I would be kind of downgrading to get back to Haaland again. So, yeah, it feels fine to me what I'm thinking about doing, but I'm obviously going to wait till the end of the week anyway.
Do you see that Asula started? I'm not saying you get him. It just made me... He made me think of you, and yeah, he is less than Archer, just saying. Yeah,
I had him, didn't I? Right, Rich, talk us through your team, my man. How's your best team looking?
Messy, but okay. I'm actually can't remember which team I've sent you. So I'm looking at my team, but it may be different. Who's starting? Do I have Pedro or do I have Haaland starting?
You've got Haaland starting.
Got Haaland starting. Okay, so I think I've got the same team here. So at the moment, obviously I need to wait for Europe and stuff. But I've got Pedro benched team. So it's Dubravka, Saliba and Gabriel home to Brighton, which I'm more than fine with. I mean, Arsenal, I know they conceded a lot of goals over the last two games, but they conceded very low XG numbers in both of those games. Mm. Admittedly, one of them was Luton. But then the other one was Villa, which was obviously a great team goal early on. So I'm happy with those two Arsenal. Livramento, obviously Europe again, but he should be playing right back with Trippier suspended. And then Tsimikas, home to Man United. Palmer, Salah, Son, Saka. That's most people's four, at least four of their midfielders. Probably with Gordon as well, who I don't have. Then I've got Darwin at home to United and Haaland. So I don't know if Pedro's going to start. It's too early to know for that. And it's Arsenal away. So I don't particularly fancy him in that fixture. I could just do Pedro to Solanke. I think I'm quite happy with my team. but there could potentially be a hit for either Watkins or Alvarez. That's the bit I'm not sure about. It would help me with price changes. I do want to have Watkins next week because while I think Son is the best captain, I'm not 100% on it. So I'd like to have the option, you know, option of both of them. What I don't want to do is not do the hit for Watkins. And then suddenly I think, oh, I wish I'd gone for Watkins, but I priced myself out. I'm going to do a hit anyway.
Yeah.
So part of me thinks, mate, but then there is that risk, isn't there? Like if I do the hit, Watkins gets injured.
Wait, what? So you're taking a hit to avoid taking the exact same hit later?
Potentially taking a hit. Potentially, because there's not many of my players I'd want to move. Basically, I've got a whole plan in my head. There's a few different routes. I don't want to go too deep into it, but there's basically, it's going to be a hit this week or it's going to be a hit next week on most of mine. It's just going to be one hit though. So I've got it all planned out. But there's different scenarios. There's scenarios where I just roll. There's scenarios where I just do the one transfer, which is Pedro to Solanke. And then there's a variety of hits. But to sum it up, in short, I'm going to be getting strikers in. And there's that watch list. You know, it's Watkins, it's Solanke, Alvarez. I don't think I'll use transfers anywhere else. I can't start looking at Saliba, Toporo and all this kind of stuff. I don't have that luxury.
Sorry, mate. I was talking over you a little bit there. I was just going to ask. It's basically to not play Tsimikas, right? Because assume Haaland is out, but you're making your one transfer, Pedro, to Solanke. So the next transfer would be to play, for example, Watkins over Tsimikas effectively.
Yeah, and I, to be honest, I don't actually mind that back four. So, yeah. I mean, that has been on my thoughts as well. I just think I do want... Basically, the route I like the most, and I'm very, very short on it, I'd do Pedro to Solanke, which I'm set on. I'll do Haaland to Watkins. Next week, I'll do Tsimikas to a Villa defender, which frees up a little bit of money. And then I can do Darwin back to Haaland. If Darwin back to Haaland backfires, Liverpool have got Burnley anyway. So that's the route I really, really like, but I could get priced out of it. And it seems pretty good because I'd have Darwin.
Are there like alternatives that are a similar price?
Say that again, sorry?
Are there alternatives that are a similar price, that route? Like, you know, do you have another way of achieving that?
No.
Or is it really, it has to work for that money?
It's genuinely the only way. I mean, the other way I could do it, I could go to that. There's that Villa defender, Carlos, who's not nailed.
Yeah.
Do I want to be compromising on my... or maybe I could find a team that rotates better than Villa or as almost as good as Villa. Yeah. But you do look at 18 with that game against Sheffield United. And,
I mean, I hear you. I'm obviously pretty hit averse. So, you know, take anything I say with that pinch of salt. I feel like you're just bringing a hit forward. Even if it makes the hit more certain in the future, I think you wait. Because if it's not necessarily this week that you want Watkins for, or you want Tsimikas gone or something... What if Watkins gets injured this week? Now, I know that's like a really low probability, of course, but just why would you, if you want a player in the future, get them as close to that future as possible if there isn't a reason to bring it forward? And I don't necessarily think there's a reason to bring it forward.
I do completely agree with that. And like I said, I could look at a different hit next week. Like you say, wait till Watkins at the last minute.
Yeah.
I just don't like it as much. Yeah. If that makes sense, I'd need to find a plan B if I get priced out, and it might mean a compromise that annoys me. Like, you know, if instead of going for Pau Torres or Konsa, I go for a more risky, or I go for like, I don't know, Bournemouth defender, or, you know, something like that. And shout out to David Monday, actually.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. I just thought of the first team I could.
No, went to Nessie. Fair play to him.
0.0% at his rank.
I know. Fair play. Imagine getting 100% of a player's points.
He's doing really well, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. So is Mr. Joe as well.
Lovely. Oh, no, get them back on here. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's all gone downhill. Seb, talk us through your best team, my man.
Sure, my friend. Allow me just to pull it up real quickly for you.
Just while he does, by the way, over 1,000 people in the chat. Make sure you like the stream, guys. It really, really helps us. And thank you for joining us tonight. Make sure you go back and listen about the Haaland chat, because we did talk about it for about half an hour.
Can I, before Seb does that, one thing, there was a really good point in the chat that I forgot to mention. Trini says Watkins will be on pens with Luiz out. Like, there's been a couple of people who say it could be Tielemans. So Douglas Luiz is suspended. And Tielemans
has
not
taken them in the past for various teams.
Who has, sorry? Tielemans.
Yeah.
And he got a knock.
He is
so
better at them.
There's potential that Watkins is on penalties. Obviously, we had an episode early in the season saying, is it good if Watkins is on penalties or not? And the conclusion was, it was good.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wouldn't be 100% sure he definitely was, like, because obviously he got taken off them, didn't he? So are they going to now all of a sudden have confidence for him to take them?
It depends, doesn't it? I mean, it's only one game week, but it does bump Watkins up a little bit.
If we were putting this into a model, it's one of those. It doesn't push him to the top of a list. It just pushes him marginally up it, right? Because you're going, there is a, I don't know what to call it. Let's call it a 60% chance. There is a 60% chance he takes a penalty in one match. Now, if on average a team gets 6 penalties a season, even 8 penalties a season, obviously one match, that's a low chance of getting a penalty, which he's not even 100% chance of taking. So it's very small, but it does move the needle ever so slightly.
And we need to wait for Tielemans' news and stuff. But yeah, like you say, it's a tiny thing. But then he goes from a game where he's on penalties, potentially, to Sheffield United at home. Yeah. So
anyway,
I've done worse hits, put it that way.
Seb, I bet you have.
I keep forgetting that 18 is in 2 game weeks, or basically 1 week in real life.
Yep.
Seb, talk us through Flag FC.
Sure, it's not that bad, I don't think. I think yours were worse the last couple of weeks,
fun,
right?
With Flags.
I'm not getting defensive, you're getting defensive. So I have David Imraa in goal for his 2 points. I have Pedro Porro, Gabriel and Tsimikas. Son, vice captain. Saka, Palmer, Douglas Luiz, who obviously now is suspended. I set this up, you know, before the yellow card happened. So I will need to make a change there. I've got Dallo on the bench at the moment. Haaland has my captaincy, which probably won't be the case, will it? Darwin up front alongside him and Julian Alvarez. I then have Johnston, who has a flag, interestingly. I was not aware of that
Yeah, he's out, isn't he?
Oh, fair. I mean, never going to play him over Raya, but good to know. Maybe I need to make a Dubravka transfer in about 7 weeks when I've dealt with my other problems. Dallo on the bench with Mbeumo and Trippier, who both are injured and suspended respectively, so won't be playing in this next match. So obviously I need to drop Douglas Luiz. That would mean playing Dallo. I have 1 free transfer and I have Haaland in this team. So like, there's probably a world where someone in my situation would just reverse the Haaland and Salah thing, right? Especially with so many people captaining Salah. But me personally, I don't think I'd do that. I think that's spending 4 points to go backwards. And hey, if Salah goes and scores a hat trick, it would definitely come off. So if you're in my situation and you have more confidence than me in, say, Salah returning, go for that. Personally, I don't. So I would feel like I was spending 4 points just to take a step back in my sort of team's development. And I'd like it to keep it moving forward. So I would love to hold Haaland if I could. But maybe that's just a psychological slip because I've just moved him in and obviously it cost me and now I'm clinging to that. But I think what makes more sense for my team is, for example, to move Mbeumo on and to play him over Douglas Luiz, probably end up then just playing Dallo rather than spending 4 points on replacing someone else.
No, fair enough. I think it's interesting you mentioned there about the psychological kind of, I just got Haaland in, do I really want to get rid of him now? But actually, you can't think of it like that, can you? You've got to think about what is best for my team in this week.
Now that I have Haaland, I should think of it the exact same way as you two or anyone else. If Haaland is a sell, he's a sell for my team. It doesn't matter that I just brought him in, sunk cost, whatever fallacy that is. It's gone, it's happened, burn it, kill it. Focus on your team now.
Yeah.
He says keeping Haaland.
Yeah, exactly. Right, moving on to the Com team, and I got a little bit of a write-up for them. So the Com team got 59 points this week. They're doing okay. They made 2 free transfers. They sold Turner and sold Mbeumo. They got in Dubravka and Sterling. Oh, that's a tough one, watching him get benched. But then obviously they didn't, you know, they lost 2-0 anyway. They got a green arrow and rose from 498k to 353.
They're coming.
So they are beating Rich, but they are not beating myself and Seb at the moment. I've just had this image then of Rich with a wrestling mask on. It looked lovely.
They're called Lucha Libres.
Lucha Libres.
So Mexican wrestlers, yeah. I probably pronounced that wrong, like Yao Pedro.
Yeah, exactly. So
Rich, you have my, as someone who is also falling down the ranks, you have my full support. I will take a
green arrow.
Yeah. This is his best week in ages.
Yeah. I meant as in the Com team will catch me next.
Your team looks good, Seb. It does look good despite what happened last week.
Mate. It's funny, like, this time 2 game weeks ago, last time we spoke, you two had a couple of flags and I was chilling, wasn't I? It's funny how quickly that changes. Good example of this period of the season where, you know, lots of fixtures and lots of FPL fixtures and lots of real life fixtures.
Yeah. My transfers have made my team worse. As in, there was a couple of weeks ago, I had the same team as Praz, but I had 2 free transfers and I brought in Tsimikas and Darwin. And now I put in Garnacho.
It's why they call him a bus team, isn't it? You should have just got hit by a bus, Rich. It's literally would have made.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. No. Wow. I would then be beating the community team in
anyway,
hospital.
Anyway, exactly. So yeah, you'd be getting 3 meals a day. You'd be loving life. So moving on to community. No, we've done the community team. Moving on to the Q&A. So sorry, I've thrown myself off it. So I felt like I had to defend Seb because Rich has done nothing but attack him all night. So
thanks,
Seb started it, and then
Seb started. Oh my god, I'm a teacher at it during the day and I'm a teacher at night. Right, so chuck us in your questions then, please. We have got over 1,000 people in the chat still. I think we peaked at about 1,100, so thank you very much for joining us tonight. Chuck us your questions. Please don't make them ridiculously team specific, because obviously that doesn't help lots of people. But if you have to, you have to. But just let us know what your questions are. Tristan Cox has asked, and I caught this as well, saying, why is Seb dressed like a medieval knight? There was a point where you looked up, because it looks like that's a bit of a chin strap as well, and you did look like a medieval knight before they put the helmet on. Yeah, it's just the way you like to look, isn't it, Seb?
Protect myself from red arrows, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's been on the set of Blackadder all
that's
afternoon.
That's a good one, Seb. I like that.
Thanks, buddy.
Harry Hill, fight, says Russell Baker. Omar, Gordon played like a million games in a row. If he plays 90 minutes against Milan and Barnes seems to be ready, would you bench Gordon for Semenyo? Ooh. yeah, both of you. So, Seb, what do you think? Thoughts on Gordon? Don't worry too much about the Semenyo one, but what do you think about Gordon?
I mean, I think the if is Barnes there, right? I do think... So we've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, that Gordon has been great. You sold him, obviously, and I think I advised you to sell him, so I'll take half of that as well. Because the fixtures weren't as good as they had been and because players were returning to fitness, it was tougher for him. And yet he has continued playing, continued getting a few points. So yes, at some point his minutes will be more under threat, but potentially by that point his place is also more secure. So the big if is Barnes. I think we need to know more. So I wouldn't be selling him unless he was injured or suspended or how like literally said it's time for a rest.
Yeah. Rich, Rasmus S says, would you use your free hit if you only have three defenders, if you have three defenders suspended, he's got Haaland injured and he's already done his transfer?
I'd be interested to know what the transfer is. It really does depend what the defenders are as well. I mean, if he sat there with like Trent, Livramento and Saliba, or if he sat there with Kabore, etc.
They're suspended. Maguire. Yeah.
I wouldn't free hit. There's got to be... Because, I mean, if you... The difficulty with this, actually, is obviously suspensions aren't injuries, so doing a big hit's not really going to resolve anything because they'd be back next week anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, I can see the logic, but without seeing the team, I can't answer that. I would prefer not to. And, you know, if the defenders are bad, maybe it's time to move them on. I mean, defenders, are they going to score more than 4 on average anyway? Probably not.
And also, if you don't free hit this week, how below the average are you going to be? 10 points? Whereas if you free hit in a game week where it's double game week, how much higher above the average are you going to be? Look at it that way. And I think, you know, free hitting in another week is the way to go.
That's a lot of the suspended players are quite budget players, aren't they? Like, well, actually, apart from Trippier and Bruno, you've obviously got like Douglas Luiz. Like, who are you going to move him to for a week?
Charlie Taylor,
what are you going to do with him? Because you can't go to Branthwaite because he's suspended.
Yeah. Just to throw my beanie into that, if I may, I would be probably quite firmly on the side of don't free hit. That free hit is worth, what, 15 to 20 points? So legit, take a 12-point hit. Don't, but take a 12-point hit before you use that free hit. Because the other thing you would get with the hit, although, you know, you both have just said, this may not be the case, but the other thing you would get with the hit is you do get to keep those players. You know, you maybe could set your team up better for 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever that is, whereas the free hit, it's this week only. So you're still back to those, okay, if the suspension's fine, but you're still back to those injuries, to those unideal picks, whatever it is. So, yeah, unless you're somehow going to clear 20-odd points with that free hit this week, which I don't think you are, don't do that.
Quick fire now then, boys. Seb, Iklas Rahman says, is it wise to do Guehi to Senesi? Talk us through Senesi. Good pick. Quick fire. Senesi.
I think no off the top of my head, but I will admit to being undereducated on that.
FPL Spartans, I haven't seen Scoutcast from the beginning tonight, but all of the game weeks to talk about goalkeepers, this is surely the game week. Rich, clear your throat and pray tell. Rich, talk us through your favourite goalkeepers at the moment.
I mean, I'm quite happy with Dubravka. I know there's been some news today that he's playing with injections and they're probably going to sign a backup in January, but we're a few weeks away from that. So, I mean, if you've got him, I think just hold him. When we get to doubles, then we can start looking at doing hits for goalkeepers. We can almost justify doing those hits if you've got a drop player and then the double combination. Obviously, we've had Sanchez is injured now. Pickford, obviously, he's been brilliant, but after Burnley, it's Tottenham and City. So, I mean, what have we seen really from Arsenal keepers either? Obviously, Raya had that awful performance. Alisson's back. People are going to talk about Leno. I mean, he's obviously been good. It depends who you've got. I mean, I wouldn't be doing hits for keepers. There's bigger things to fry, unless you haven't got a keeper.
One thing I just want to throw in there as well, that yes, okay, hearing that a player is having injections or struggling with an injury is a certainty. We now know it exists. So many players, like genuinely just so many, are carrying things all season and you never hear about it. Like, read any of players' autobiographies, listen to them after they've retired. Every week, half that dressing room are getting pain-killing injections.
WWE, isn't it? Quick fire. Stop mentioning autobiographies. Right, Benjamin Walsh. Benjamin Walsh. Really struggling with FPL right now. Have been leading my mini league from game week 1 up to game week 15. And now after 3 disaster game weeks in a row, I'm 50 points behind. Please help me keep perspective right now. So, Seb and Rich, just a quick inspirational line.
Seb, I can do that.
What can you say?
I won't win it this year because the person top of our work league is currently 500th in the world. But I have won our work league something like 4 or 3 out of the last 4 or 5 seasons. And every year at Christmas, I'm miles off the pace. People who listen to FPL podcasts and stuff, our points come when those wild cards and doubles come in the second half of the season when we have more data. That is where we make our gains. You are going to make 50 points up between now and the end of the season.
Yeah. Rich?
Yeah, and £25, you can get Fantasy Football Scout for yourself for Christmas.
Oh, Rich, you are in the good books of Scout.
It's also because I don't want to do an inspirational message. I don't think I'm very inspiring.
You need to charge him for those, Rich. Russell Baker says, when's the best time to wildcard, 19 or 20, Rich?
Do you know what? I feel like I've not looked into this enough, but I think I would wait for 20.
Yeah.
Personally, obviously, it's always going to be team dependent, but I'd want to wait as long as possible to get as much information as possible, as cheesy as that sounds. Because obviously, if there's no double in 20, that's why people were going in 19 so they could triple captain Haaland. Now there's 2 spanners in that work, aren't there? That there might not be a double and Haaland might be injured.
2 spanners isn't good in works, is it, mate?
It's not ideal.
20.
Nice. Oh, quick fire. Seb's getting there now. Look at that medieval knight sat there in the middle. Right. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us in the chat. Like I said, over 1,000 people. Thank you so much. FPL Spartans, loving the interactions tonight, guys. Gold when Rich said Seb started it. Andy, the teacher, took control.
I bet you find some stuff the kids find funny, though. I bet some kids have, like, sworn at you and you've giggled.
Drop the
C-bomb or something.
Oh, there's been some things that have been said. Yeah, not so much that. But yeah, okay. There have been some things where I've gone, no, and then turn around and start giggling. Right, Rich, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I have. And I'd like to apologise to Seb. I was only joking. It was funny, though.
No, don't apologise, my friend. It's entirely fair and entirely deserved.
And Seb, I hope you enjoyed your evening.
Oh, no, I did. So, like, look, we're in a really privileged position, I think, where we get to come on here and talk about FPL. And, yeah, I mean, sometimes it can feel like there's a bit of pressure, obviously, to, like, know what you're talking about or to do well. But on the flip side, there are a lot of people who didn't have Haaland or didn't have Salah this week and have had a potentially sucky weekend. It sucked for me when it happened. And they haven't had the opportunity to come and have this cathartic, therapeutic chat, right? So I'm very, very lucky to be able to do that. And so I'm grateful that a bunch of people have come and shared it with us. And I quite genuinely feel better for having done it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, good man. And thank you so much, like I said, to everybody that's watching this now, people that are watching it later, people are watching it Thursday, Friday, whatever it is. We do always appreciate it. So thank you very much. We will see you again next week. And we hope your arrows are green this week as well. Bye-bye.